All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
That's right. Welcome to the Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's up, guys? It's another Wednesday. We're here. We're doing it again. Wednesdays live on Behind the Wheel. Welcome. I am Luis from Koenig Wheels, and this is my good buddy,
Jared, marketing coordinator at Koenig Wheels.
So, yeah, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. We actually have a very awesome guest. But before we do that, we want to just do some maintenance. If you haven't checked out our Friday content, what was that? What did we do this Friday, Jared?
I believe it was Hype is Right, episode 6, where we talk about some controversial electric cars, hybrid electric.
Yeah, we actually had some cool guests on there. We had Sam Crack giving us his feedback about these dope cars. They did the 2019 NSX, the Taycan. What were some of the other ones that they did?
The BMW i8,
but the Mach-E, you know, yeah.
They could like, subscribe, and you know, watch it.
Oh, so he's keeping the suspense alive for you guys. He doesn't want to throw anything for you guys. Dang.
I know. All right, Jared. I know. And then we have another piece of content coming out on Friday again.
Do we know what it's about this Friday yet?
No.
Not it's up in the air.
Sure.
If you have any ideas for us, throw it at us because we'll do it.
Well, I think this is probably my time to now introduce our very special guest.
Oh, it's that right? Time. All right.
Yeah, cool. I think so. So our very special guest is a guy named Max from Speed Patrol.
Ooh.
And the reason why I wanted to have him on is because a few years ago I attempted to build a camera car, and I failed miserably. But our guest, he actually built one and has filmed some really cool stuff. So let's bring him on. What's up, dude?
What's up, boys?
There he is, Max First in the house from Speed Patrol. If you don't know this gentleman, he's done some of the sickest films, working with Von Gittin Jr., doing some stuff with some drift guys that you guys obviously know, some crazy sick commercials, and he built that, 2003 Lancer, that Lancer that has that sick moto crane on it.
Yeah, tell us about the car.
Yeah, so the car is a 2003 Evo 8, makes about 400 horsepower, and it's built out to have the moto crane on it, the big Russian arm that you see in some of the videos. So
it's a right lot behind him.
Yep, yeah, I built it out for you guys to background
so
here.
Crazy.
So this is up at my shop here, where I keep it, work on it, maintain it, and take on endless nights of editing and get to look at it.
Nice. So what possessed you to do that?
Man, I guess, like, in brief, you know, with what we do, and I guess to go back to how you and I know each other,
right.
we met at FD Filming FD, right?
Right?
So when it comes to filming cars, like, this is kind of the ultimate. So it was just years of doing what you did, which I actually had no idea that you tried to build a camera car before. You hadn't mentioned that to me, but I've definitely
miserably.
I've had some failing moments for sure when you're trying to rig DSLRs on stuff. And, you know, through trial and error and going on other people's sets and getting on bigger jobs, it kind of just built up to being able to pick this thing up and, you know, go chase the fast cars around.
So cool.
So just tell us a little bit about, because I was watching some of the stuff, and I when it comes to doing the filming in the car, what's the process of it? Like, I know there's a few people that are in there with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a 4-man team that's in the car. And so you got your driver, then you have your arm operator. So that's the guy that swings the jib around and moves that. Then you have your camera operator, which your camera's sitting on a gimbal. He's pointing where the camera is looking. And then you have the AC assistant camera, and that guy's doing focus, zoom, iris control. And so it's this big coordinating thing, and you guys all kind of have to jive to make it happen, especially when you're chasing down dudes like Vaughn and you're a little scared.
Oh my God. Well, no risk, no reward, right?
All right. That's why I built this thing. You know, these arms, you typically see them on SUVs. And the cool thing about the MotoCrane system is it's completely portable. So we'll fly in somewhere with the system, go rent a Tacoma, a Cherokee, and we can put it on an SUV. But knowing that and knowing that I had access to that, I was like, you know what? I want to build something cool and try and build the most capable arm car, Russian arm car in the world. So something that could pull G's through corners where some of these other bigger cars can't, and go keep up with the fast guys and get those calls for, you know, the fun projects, the stuff that we like to film or watch. So that's how this thing kind of came to fruition.
Nice. So why ultimately the Evo? I have to ask because I'm a Subaru guy. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's, you have to throw that in there, right?
Sorry.
We got now. You had the Baja though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your Baja. Oh. But the main thing for me looking at a lot of cars, and it wasn't seeking out an Evo off the bat. I kind of had a list of cool cars that I thought would be neat, and I was just checking marketplace, seeing what I wanted to get into. But having all wheel drive, when you have an extra, you know, 400 pounds on the roof and four camera dudes in the car, I knew would come into play. If it was front wheel drive, I knew the car would probably understeer super bad. If it was rear wheel drive, if we lost it or started sliding, I knew we would be limited by that, right? Yeah. Not to say that this thing hasn't seen some four wheel slides with the crane on top, but it just manages it better. So the all wheel drive, and then of course power, and then just being able to mod the power plant reliably. So the car's built head, bolt-ons, tuned, like I said, 375 to 400 wheel, depending on the dyno, but rock solid reliability. And so this Evo popped up on marketplace, and funny story, the first professional video I made for anything automotive related for money was for an Evo shop 10 years ago. And I called Kevin, who runs that shop, and asked him if he knew the car. And he had like 10 years of records, basically from when the car was bought. Oh, and so that kind of sealed the deal for me, that I knew it hadn't, you know, had a big turbo on it, had E85, been blown up, put back together, blown up again, as you see some Evos go through in their cycle of life.
Because you really have to be careful with Evos, especially now. Like, it's so difficult to find a clean one unmolested. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And they're skyrocketing in price, too. And it's then you've crazy. Got me, who drills holes in the roof and puts a roof rack on it.
What was that feeling like? Tell me about that. What was that feeling
like? I didn't do it. I dropped the car off. I think I was so excited about the crane. I didn't care. And I dropped the car off with my buddy Alex at Corsa Tech. He's an awesome fabricator. And I just kind of gave him the base unit for the motor crane so he could fit it up, and was just like, you know, go for it and send me the bill. And he did an awesome job. I'm pretty sure we could pick up the car with a forklift from the rack that's on top of the roof. It's strong. Nice. So,
but you don't need that rack in order to operate that crane, right?
You don't. It was the rack was more of knowing what we were going to get into with Vaughn and just anticipating those other calls. Most of the guys with their, I don't know, you can call them their home car or their car that's always rigged up, they have some kind of permanent system. Mm-hmm. But like, we've got a bunch of pictures on the Instagram and website of it on Tacomas. What else have we put it on? We did the Pagani Reduno with a Cayenne that we turroed, that was on 22s, and took it up Tail of the Dragon, which was terrifying, but we did that for a week. So it's you can pretty much put it on anything.
So not only have you been actively using this thing, but it also sounds like you really travel a lot with it.
Yeah, I mean, pre-COVID, obviously, we were getting a lot of calls, and I would say it was about like 50-50, maybe even leaning more towards flying out with the system for people. And a lot of that is just me going out as kind of, it's my system, I'm the tech, I've set it up, and you've got your director of photography and AC in the back, and it's just kind of, you know, my job to put the crane where they want it and help consult to get the shots they want.
Nice. So just out of curiosity, because, well, I was watching some of the videos on the car as well, and I thought this was pretty interesting. What powers the crane? Like, how do you get it? Because I know it's, you know, well, I know what powers it, but you tell us what exactly. Uh-huh.
So I basically have this big e-bike battery. So it's a battery probably about this big. We charge it, you plug it in, and you're good to go. It's got a power delivery unit, and it's pretty simple. Like the
How
guys
long does it normally last?
I haven't even ran the thing out in a day. So it lasts all day, and I haven't had any issues. I've run it 2 days before. You can power the system with Velox, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with, the big Velox batteries. Okay. That we run on like the Red cameras and Alexas. They have a system that lets you run four of those, which is super convenient when you're traveling because you can't fly. It's like flying with a car battery. Like they're not going to let you on the plane with it. So we'll ship it somewhere, but the Velox system is nice to, we already get bothered enough by TSA as you know, Jared.
I'm sure. So. Yeah. So you finished building this thing. How many years ago was it now?
Man, I think I've had the arm for a year and like 3 or 4 months, give or take. I can't really remember. I think that's about how long I've had the system.
So you got it done. What was like the first project you worked on?
First project was really cool. It was a project for Roush, and we hauled the car all the way to Hamilton, Ohio, and we basically had the keys of the city. My buddy Tyler was the director on that spot, and it was for the new Roush Nightmare. You see that commercial?
Yeah.
It was cool.
It starts with the wheel. So
We had an all-star crew for that, and that was one of the projects that, you know, we came out to kind of run the car, run the crane. They had their director of photography, their AC, and we were there to set it up and kind of consult cool chase shots. So Aaron Kaufman was on the shoot as a driver. Jack Roush was there. It was two overnighters. We basically just terrorized the city running this truck up and down the streets, and it got nominated for best automotive commercial that year I think it's IMMF film, the International Motor Film Festival awards out in London. So first project came out with a bang.
Nice. I'd say that's a pretty good start.
So the crew was awesome. Voice.
I mean I think that's probably the important thing to communicate ultimately, right? Is that, you know, it's done by a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
any good project, any big project, especially one like that, like you said, there's a guy doing a voiceover and they set that up and shoot that. It takes a village for sure. And that's something I've definitely learned over the years. It takes good crew and people that are good at their job that they're there to do to come together and make something crazy like that.
Nice.
It's fun.
So what I want to ask him, are you looking at questions or anything?
Yeah, I'm looking at some. They're coming in, but okay. Yeah.
So I'll just ask you, like, obviously this is, you know, a relatively new venture for you. What do you see the future being for, you know, your company, for the car, et cetera?
Yeah. So after, you know, operating and going on other people's sets, I've kind of taken a step into the directing role with some projects now. I've got a really solid crew of guys that we've all been working together for a long time, and you know, having input on that creative, I've been able to do that for other people, but now I'm looking to, you know, hop in the director's chair, but more so like jam with a good team and try and make the coolest stuff we can. So getting those bigger budget projects, making cool shit, and then also use Speed Patrol as kind of just like a brand itself that is involved in the car community more. I've been taking the car to car meets, which has been super fun. People lose their minds when they see an Evo with a crane running up and down the street. And
it's been super cool to do that. I heard you say he uses it on the street. Like he actually like it's there, but you drive it like normally, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the law in Texas is if the arm's fully locked off and it's not past a certain length off the car, it's completely legal. So
Texas,
I've definitely been pulled over and had to explain that before. but luckily, the cops have been pretty cool and either tell us to get out of there. Or, you know, they're hyped on it. So
only in Texas.
Yeah. Only in Texas.
You tried doing something.
I don't know
like
if it'd fly in LA.
You tried doing something like that around New York and forget it.
Oh, yeah. It shut it down.
It's not happening. You know what? This is another question. Actually, Scott threw this over to you. What are some of the mods that the Evo has?
So Evo's just built head cams. I don't know the duration of the cams, but then it's just intercooler bolt-ons, still has a stock turbo, and then a tune from Kevin at Evo Dynamics, the guy I was talking about earlier. And I think that's it. Oh, it's so that's engine package. We did do a custom suspension setup for the car, you know, knowing that we were going to add a whole bunch of weight to the roof. And then you got four big film dudes like me in the car. The car would have looked like it was bagged. So it's got a custom set of BC coilovers, the DS coilovers with the digressive pistons in it. So that helps the handling, but we also kind of took into, to factor the shocks helping with camera shake. So that's why we picked the digressive piston. We knew the car would stay planted, and we knew that if we hit bumps, they'd absorb the bumps because that's your first point of contact in the road. So whatever kind of keeps those vibrations from getting to the end of the camera to help keep the footage smooth, that's the goal, you know?
Now, as long as we're talking about mods, was there anything done to the interior?
Yeah, I've got an NRG harness bar that we threw in there, and that's kind of our battle station. You know, we've got monitors, we've got rugged radios set up. So we have full comm system, a box system that everybody can hear each other in the car. And then we can also page out to different radios. So we hand out radios on set and, you know, we push buttons and they can hear us, and then we let go of the button and we can chit-chat in the car.
Is there like video of you you guys working inside? I need to see this.
Dude,
you know what I mean? Like
we say it every time we need to mount up a GoPro in the car, because I have so many moments where we get guys in the car and we fire off the first shot gets rolling, and it's like full freak out from the directors at how sick the footage looks. And it's honestly my favorite part about being in the car. Like, people lose their minds.
Oh, I can imagine.
The chase footage. We had a shoot yesterday where the director of marketing, we put him in the front seat of the car, and he was just freaking out. We pulled back into pit lane, and he was like, "I'm not getting out." He's like, "I'm staying right here all day." I was like, "That's your seat, bud. let's go shoot these cars."
Dude, so you could start your own totally separate channel, like, you know, Larry Chen with the autofocus, where you literally just do GoPro in-car, you know, experiences.
Like, what's the the YouTube show where they go and sing with that one dude in the car. Oh, they have it all. I can't remember his name. He's a talk show host. James, we could definitely do that.
Corden? There you go.
That's it. Yeah. We could do Speed Patrol.
Uber. For sure. I was thinking Taxicab Confessions, but yeah, that works too.
All right. We actually have a question that came in for you. It's from Keegan Washington. Can you roll race with the camera on?
We definitely, and Keegan has been witness to this, had a couple Mustang kills in the Evo with the crane on the car on the freeway. So she still boogies with all that weight in the car.
Wow.
So
yeah, there's a Pepper Yandel asks, what's the sketchiest shoot you've ever done?
Oh, Pepper.
Man. Pepper's my dude. You know Pepper, Jaren?
I know of him through you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Pepper and I go back. He's an awesome car photographer. We've done some sketchy stuff together. Hanging me out the car at the Dubai Autodrome, filming a Huracan Performante. That was pretty sketchy. That was pre-crane. Right. But I think the sketchiest shoot that we did, and it was just because the speed, the car handled it great. It was with Vaughn and Chelsea. They crushed it with everything, but it was just the sheer speed of the shoot was out at Seneca, which is a track in West Virginia. Almost every corner's blind, and we've got Vaughn and Chelsea tandeming behind us in their 1,000 horsepower demo cars. And that's what I was talking about when, you know, we're coming around corners and you're watching a screen and you feel the back end of the car start to lift and slide. My buddy Cagle Johnson was driving on that shoot, and he did a good job of making sure to stay in it and not lift to, you know, snap the car out of drift. It was a wild one.
So just quick, in that same vein, you probably have to have some pretty like sticky aggressive tires for these kinds of shoots, right?
Yeah. I run Accelera 651s. So I'm sponsored by them on my drift car, and I run their 400 tread wear tire out here in Texas for the street legal series, because that's what's required is 300 tread wear higher. Mm-hmm. But they have their 180 or 200 tread wear tire, the 651. So we've got 265s all the way around, which is big for an Evo, you know. And it holds pretty good, so it gets the job done. It's a great tire.
Cool. We got more.
Yeah. So this is a Scott once again asking a question, because he was telling me before that he found this so interesting. He was a little sad that he couldn't make it today, but he definitely has some questions for you. So
well, and awesome. He's also a huge DSM fan. Oh, so it's like
there you go.
This is like his thing.
So he said, so the crane is a solid investment. As a small business owner, do you save up for the purchase? Go for funding? I think he means go.
Like financing?
Yeah. Or is it's scary every time putting out all the expensive gear on the car and chasing cars?
I mean, everything's insured, you know, and on big shoots, you have production insurance to take care of everything. And I pay a lot of money a month to insure all my gear. And then with any piece of gear, you know, I have this conversation with a lot of people that, you know, with high-end cameras, cranes, all sorts of high-end camera gear, it's kind of like construction equipment. You can purchase it, but also finance part of it as well, so you don't take as much of a hit. And then after that, it's just, you know, how many jobs can you get with it?
Yeah, cool.
So, nice. But... yeah, at any one point in time, depending on the camera and lens, you know, when we're fully rigged out, it's a good 130 grand a camera car rolling down the street.
Oh man, that's tough to hear.
it's harder when you're going faster and doing sketchy stuff. You're just like, what am I doing?
I see there are a few more questions, but I want to shift gears for half a second, because I want to just ask about drifting. Ooh. Because he also drifts semi-competitively, and I'm curious, like, yeah, what came first, like getting into the drifting or doing the moto crane stuff?
So drifting came first before I ever touched a camera. Hmm. I bought an S13 when I was, I think I was 17. Mm-hmm. It was SR20 swapped. It'd probably be worth $1 million in today's S chassis market, judging from what I see on Marketplace. But yeah, I had that car. I started drifting, and through college, I just was your typical broke college kid. I was eating ramen to try and go buy used tires to go drifting, and realized that it wasn't sufficient. So I tried to, you know, buckle down, sold the car, buckle down on school, but to stay involved in the scene, that's when I picked up a camera. Gotcha. So I started filming. The first car I ever filmed was my buddy Fielding Shredder, that I'm sure you guys know. He was on a Hyperdrive. He lives out here in Texas. And so I started filming some stuff for him. Nate Hamilton is a good buddy of mine. Yeah, yeah. Him and I ended up living together for a little while. We had an apartment and a shop that we worked out of. And that's how I got into filming FD. I was going with him, filming different rounds, meeting different companies, and that started my 5 years of filming Formula Drift.
Look at that!
But it all started with my S chassis.
So do you still do it at all anymore, or is that something?
Yeah, yeah. I have a 350Z right now, and I've been kind of traveling all over and trying to drift like anywhere I can. You know, the past 2 years. I had an E36 for a year. I sold that, got my 350Z, and then started kind of dabbling in competition and driving the Lone Star Drift Street Legal Series. So it's just a VQZ, angle coilovers, welded diff, super simple car, but it works really well. And the last round of last year, I ended up getting second in the last street legal round, and so that's kind of prompted me to try and go win a street legal championship.
I hope so, we'll see.
It's just super fun to compete.
So that actually so this is a question that Zachary Nelson had. What's your dream project to shoot?
My dream project is to shoot really any Formula One car on a Formula One track.
Okay.
So we've got COTA down the road from us in Dallas, 4 hours away. And I have a potential project. I've had a few potential projects fall through, but I've got one in March where we might go shoot on track, but it's fingers crossed. But to go shoot some kind of F1 promo with the Evo and crane car, that's the pinnacle for me.
Wow, very cool. Now, the Evo would be able to keep up? Like, how would
nothing keeps up with that one car.
Yeah, so like
but to your question, like, yeah. I get that question a lot. It's like, can it keep up? You know, we're chasing or leading Vaughn and Chelsea in 1,000 horsepower cars. Like, those cars are obviously faster than a car that's 400 horsepower, but then has all this weight in it. What I tell people is this is literally your best chance with an arm car to go fast, to keep up with anything. So because the motor crane system's lighter than the conventional Russian arms, which are huge, and the cars end up being, you know, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 pounds, they may be able to go straight decently fast, but you start turning and it's over. You know, some of those cars three wheel, it's a lot harder to keep up with those guys, but this is your best shot at it.
You know, it's funny too, because I was watching some of the videos of the car, and it looks bigger. Is it just because of what we're seeing? It looks, or did you add something to it, or it's just from what I'm looking at?
I'll give y'all, so maybe it's like the tail on it, but jeez. Yeah, this is it.
So wild.
So it reaches out pretty far over the nose, but. It's the arm's big. It's from the I'm trying to see where to point. From the base right there, forward is 12 feet.
Cool.
Crazy.
So this is a fairly like simple. Well, it's a different type of question. It's kind of steering away from the car. But why did you? Well, I want to know why did it, what's Speed Patrol? Why Speed Patrol? Like, why'd you call that?
Why'd you come up with that name? Actually have a really funny story about how I came up with that name. I was trying to think of a name since I ordered the system. I was actually shooting something for a boat company, and we had this shoot every year. It was like they give us basically like 10 brand new boats, and they're just like, go film them all. And so it's an ass kicking every year, but it's fun too. So 14, 15 hour days, you got to get sunrise, sunset. By the end of the week, I was just smoked, and I was sitting in one of the boats going out to a spot where we were going to go film. And I can't remember what it said on the boat, but it was basically like Coast Guard or like Lake Patrol. And I saw the logo on the boat, and maybe it was just my tiredness. I just started thinking about kind of like the lifeguard theme and Lake Patrol, and then kind of leaned into Speed Patrol. Cause basically what we're doing when we show up on set is we're there to get you amazing footage, but do it in a safe manner. And that's what I mean from like the consulting side. It's like, okay, you want to get this shot, this is how we can accomplish this. But a lot of the times we're coordinating, you know, cues, who goes when, where you go. So as like Speed Patrol, we're kind of the protectors of speed on set when you hire us.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I was super tired on a brand new boat.
Hey man, listen, some ready people fall think asleep of great ideas in the shower. Other people's are, you know, half dead.
Hey, as a creative, I'm definitely like a late night guy. Like when I get into edits, it's I don't know, I guess kind of similar. Like I can really dig into an edit late at night and produce some good results.
Nice. Are we good on questions or any? Because I guess the other thing I can ask you and have you sort of touch on is there's no real like degree you could get for this kind of stuff, right? Like you're not certified in any particular courses per se, or?
No, I actually dropped out of college with like 12 hours left to finish my degree in film school because I got the call to go film FD, and I was like, I don't want to go back to school. And
that's very creative.
Would I like advise people to do that? Probably not, but it worked out.
Well, so here's a question that we got. What's next? Another Evo or something different? This is from Top Speed Pro 1.
I think next is another camera car. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of traditional arm cars come with or come on an SUV. And so we've got the Evo. We use it for the jobs that we need to go fast. But I think the next purchase is something like an Audi Q5 that's just a little more cush for those you know, more corporate style car commercials. So a lot of times we don't need the capabilities of the Evo, and something a little more comfy is just a little easier on everybody. You get three people crammed in the back and us two in the front seat, it's tight in there. So I think the next is a small SUV to throw the arm on.
Sick. Okay.
Here's a question from Scott again. He's super interested.
I love it.
Most unusual vehicle you've ever put this crane on? Any rentals?
Yeah, we've definitely Turo'd a lot of cars and put the crane on it. And I mean, we do it and there's never any damage or anything. You know, do they know about it? Not necessarily, but we're confident in putting the system on and it always works, and take it off and get the car detailed, return it better than you had it, and no issues.
So just in case Enterprise is watching this, we'll cut this part out. Don't worry.
Yeah,
like I said, Turo, Enterprise doesn't mess with me anymore.
Oh my God. As Scott would say, you know, we got 12 followers watching, so like Enterprise is definitely not one of them. Oh, yeah, no, they are.
We should be good. But yeah, funny enough, I mean, the Evo is the most interesting thing we've put it on, because when we fly somewhere, typically we just put it on a, like I said, Tacoma, Ford Explorer, Cayenne. Trying to think of what else. We've had a couple other vehicles that we've put it on, but nothing as cool as the Evo.
Pretty cool, man.
Crazy.
So, here's another question. This is just a simple, you know, what color is that on the Evo?
I guess. So the Evo has a flat black wrap on it done by my buddies at Fortune Wraps. They did this really cool, it's satin black around the whole car. And the whole reason you do that is when you're filming another car, you don't want to see the reflections
right.
in the paint. Mm-hmm. And this thing was yellow before. So we 100% would have seen it in any panel that we filmed. But what they did is they did a cool embossing almost. So I've got their logo, BC Racing's logo on the car, and they helped with the initial build. So we did that and some Speed Patrol branding, but they put basically vinyl under the satin black. So it's not like a billboard with a bunch of stickers that, again, show through. We're trying to be discreet and low key, but when you look at the car, you can see it in the embossing sticking out. It's really cool.
So I wanted to ask, you know, because this is actually perfect for what Jared was trying to do, because he tried to do his own version of it. What's some advice that you would give for someone that's trying to do, you know, some of the beginner cinematographers out there in the automotive world that want to do something similar to what you're doing? How would you tell them to start, at least, or something to start with? Or maybe offer like a program, you know, that you probably could put online. You never know.
I might need to start building that plan out. But I mean, what I would tell people, and I guess my path, you know, started in automotive, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but I actually did automotive, got to a certain point and was doing other jobs. You know, I was filming corporate stuff, and I actually ended up building an agency with some guys that I sold my shares in earlier last year. But during that point, it was about 5 years, I was paying my bills, shooting corporate stuff, and marketing stuff, and then shooting cars for fun or like waiting for those bigger jobs to come in. So like putting something out and then like, you know, you get a call, or I was shooting FD at the same time. So I kept shooting FD, but I also did stuff to help pay my bills, because it's hard. And the reality is, like, when you're filming anything that's cool, you've got a million hands that'll go up to do it and do it for cheap or free, you know, and that's just kind of the harsh reality of it. But if you love what you're filming, keep doing it, keep trying to get better at it. But my advice is to be flexible, like get good at being a filmmaker that can go do anything, you know, if it's music videos or weddings or whatever. I just see a lot of people try and dive in to only one niche. And I mean, I tried to do that and I couldn't supplement a whole lot off that. So I became a flexible filmmaker, but still kind of focused on that goal. So I guess be flexible is the too long didn't read of that.
And I'm sure you understand this, Jared, as a creative, and you know, it's that what exactly we just said is the perfect way to kind of say it, you know, yeah. Because, you know, you have to get your feet wet, also understand where you're going. And with that, you gain experience. And I'm sure looking at your videos now, he has experience and he is there now where where he is now, because he put the work into it, you know. So I definitely appreciate that.
I appreciate you. So, yeah, it's been 10 years of just building, you know, and being at the right place, right time, with shooting stuff. And another big thing is just being fun and easy to work with. You know, that's another thing people learn when they get on set with us and they get in the car. Like, again, we're doing something that takes a lot of communication between the team. So it's not like you can just throw random people in random seats. You know, we all shoot together a lot and we're all friends. So the vibes are good in the car and we have a blast there. And when we go on people's sets, they love the camera car team. You know, they get in the car, we're messing around. When we have time to joke around, we keep it light, but we keep it serious too, to make sure we get everything done in a timely manner and safe.
Do we have anything else?
That was great. Yeah. Oh, so we got here. Do you ever feel that having more power would benefit your shoot, or even with the added weight, is 400 a solid number, or still and still keeps things reliable?
The setup in the engine now is super reliable. More power is always cool, right? But you got to think about the platform. So more power now would either mean E85 for the car, which is a new fuel system, which if you're not running the car a lot and it sits, you can get dirty injectors. It just gets a little more difficult. Or you got a bigger turbo, which introduces lag. So again, this is specialty. So whoever's driving the car has to understand how the car is going to act when you're on the gas. It's not like, you know, a Ford Explorer where you just hit the gas and it goes and it shifts for you. You're, you know, slipping the clutch, you're brake boosting, you're doing a lot of fancy footwork to keep the car smooth, but keep it in the power band. And it's not like crazy difficult, but you just have to understand the platform and know what you're doing.
Yeah, nice.
So more power would be sick, basically. But I'm very reluctant to sacrifice what we have right now because it's been enough for a while. So
why change something, you know, that's working well?
Mm-hmm. Because we're car guys and we ruin everything and try to make it go faster.
Yeah. Any others, or is it?
That's the question.
It seems like there's a lot of engagement, so I want to keep going with it.
No, sure.
I'm down.
But that's it. Yep, for now. Yeah, we asked the questions. Yep. So this is another thing I wanted to ask, just as because I figured it's good information to have. Now, are you just specifically like trying to work with bigger companies, or would you be willing to take like someone who's just let's say a pro-am drifter who wants to have a cool video? Do you take those projects, or are you just doing big stuff now?
No, we kind of take on anything. You know, obviously the budget has to be right, and we work with all sorts of brands to where we'll come out small crew, film some really cool promo, but we go out in the big sets too. So goal for me is to be directing big car spots, you know, and get there by being on set with Speed Patrol and learning how all those things run and seeing what the big dogs produce, right? But I mean, we do things all the way down to I partnered with Apex HPDE. They put on track days, and we did a track day. It was like a half day where people paid an entry fee and they got three laps around the track with the camera car. We kicked them an edit after the fact, they loved it, you know. And it's like a track day where they had their advanced drivers. I knew no one was going to run into the back of the camera car or anything. So it was a way to like provide value to the car community and get to use something like this when they normally wouldn't, because it's typically pretty expensive. But by breaking it up into 15 different people, it was fine.
And that goes back to like, see, things like that. That's why I appreciate this podcast and having you on here, because to me, you're like an unsung hero, you know? It's one of those people that, you know.
Thanks, man.
No, for sure, man. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people want to put in the forefront the, you know, the drivers or whatnot, but those drivers need people like you to actually make them look good. So to have you on here and telling us how you do it, that to me is valuable, you know?
Yeah. And so anybody who's watching, how can they find you? What are your, you know, social handles, site, all that good stuff?
So social media, my personal one is @max_first, my last name, FUEST. And then the one for Speed Patrol is @_ Speed Patrol. I tried to get like just @Speed Patrol, but the company that owns it's actually a company that makes like big radar signs that they stick on the highway. So I lost out to that handle. So it's @_Speed Patrol. And then you can go to the website. It's speed-patrol.com.
Nice.
All right. And this is the last question I want to ask. If there is anything that you could reveal, is there any cool projects that you're working on for 2021?
Dude, there's so many cool projects that we filmed in 2020 that aren't even out yet. Like, if y'all go to my social later today, I'm going to promote a commercial we shot with my buddy Wilson of Lemieux Company. It was for a really cool body shop out in Amarillo. And we've done two projects that are going to release soon with them that were super awesome. We've got stuff with RTR that's not out yet. I've got a project I filmed yesterday with a company called Classic Recreations that built and released their all carbon GT500, 67 GT500 Mustang. It was insane. So I've got all this stuff coming out now. 2021, you know, I have projects lined up, but as I'm sure you guys know, being in the media industry, it's kind of like, it's all up in the air until paperwork gets signed or you get closer to the date, especially with COVID now. Like, I was supposed to be in LA two times last month and COVID shut everything down. So there's stuff coming, but it's just a matter of locking it down, and it's taking longer because of COVID to make it official. And say the prior year, I'd be like, yeah, we're going to do this. So
nice. Cool. Well, look, man, we could talk to you for hours, and I'm sure the audience wouldn't mind hearing it either, but I think we're gonna wrap up now.
Cool.
Really appreciate you coming on, man. Wishing you nothing but the best with, you know, the Evo and your career and all that stuff. And
yeah, and don't forget to follow at Speed Patrol, well, Speed_ Patrol.
It'll pop up if Instagram, you just search too. Speed Patrol.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Max, for being with us.
Hey, thank you, guys. This was super fun. I appreciate it.
No doubt.
All right. So I guess that's it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Max is a super cool dude, you know what I mean? And definitely, you know, going to be following up with some of his projects more because, like I said, I was watching some of his videos. I'm talking about quality stuff, man. Quality stuff. I felt like I was watching a movie. Watching some of the commercials, I was like, what the heck? You know what I mean? But, you know, when you have that many years in the industry and you put in the work, just like he said himself, obviously the results show, you know. So definitely appreciative for having Max on. But, yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to sign out. Stay tuned next Wednesday for an upcoming podcast. Like I said earlier, we have a piece of content coming out on Friday, and like, subscribe, turn the notifications on to stay up to date with all that we're doing.
Yeah, boy. And on this one, we're gonna say thank you for joining us on the Behind the Wheel podcast. Good night.